they present their viewpoints. Now, all of that to say this. I believe that if this, and here's what, why all the resistance, here why all of the media circus is going on, all the hate, all the vitriol, because the soul of this nation is swinging in the balance. We have an opportunity. We've prayed for 15 years. I've prayed for 15 years since I got involved in the pro-life movement for God to end abortion and send revival to America. If you've ever prayed with me, you've prayed this prayer. Jesus, I plead your blood over my sins and the sins of my nation. God, end abortion and send revival to America. That's a 22-word prayer, and the reason why it's prayed at every prayer meeting that I attend is because I believe those two are linked to one another. That when we as a nation quit killing our babies, then we as a nation can ask God for mercy and revival. Now, if revival came before or after or right in the midst, I don't care. But I believe they're linked together. That when we make laws that say babies in the womb are not people, then we deny the very image of God inside the womb. And so what you're seeing at the highest level in this nation's, in this whole political scene right now, is the very forces of wickedness, darkness. And I just want to say, not necessarily evil people, just deceived people. People for whom Christ died. And we wage war not against flesh and blood. So we don't start saying, all those demoncrats are a bunch of blah, blah, blah. That doesn't help anything. But you can pray for them. You can say, God, have mercy on their soul. They don't know what they're doing, because that's how Jesus prayed for those who were perpetrating evil. But ultimately, right now, if you ever desired, if you ever thought about fasting and praying for something important, there is never, or I believe never will be, perhaps in our lifetime, a more significant time in the history of this nation than right now in this hour, where the opportunity for the abortion on demand law to be greatly minimized, even struck off the books by a conservative moral majority in the Supreme Court. And it's sobering, because they tried to get the man to say what he'd do or what he wouldn't do, and because he's a judge, he said, a case would have to come before me, to have to hear it before I'm going to rule on it. But because they know he's a Christian, and they know that he's a constitutionalist, and they know that he's ruled according to the rule of law over and over again, they pretty much have, they tried to get him to say, what he would do, and he, of course, won't do it. And I believe what's going to tip the scales, what's going to cause the balancing act to swing our direction, is if we will give ourselves to prayer and intercession for this man. We've seen it over and over again. Why are people so hateful towards this agenda? Why are people so hateful towards this administration? Why is there so much vitriol? Why is there so much? And I stayed back going, well, people just don't like a personality. Well, people are just really want to get their agenda. And as I just sunk back into the place of going, God, what's going on there? He said, it's not about people. And it's not about a judge named Kavanaugh. And it's not about a doctor named Ford. And it's not about Republicans or Democrats. It's about God saying, on earth as it is in heaven, will you contend? It's about all life being precious. Will you put yourself, if there ever, when David came to the front lines, a shepherd boy, he heard the voice of a giant taunting the people of God. And he asked this question. Because he said, you're all shrinking back. Why are you afraid of this uncircumcised Philistine? And they said, man, this guy, he's killed everybody he's been around. He's a murderer. Surely he would kill us. We're fearful. And David's response there, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to decide to turn away from those things that are really not that important, to turn our affections for a moment, for a period of time, to say, let's together cry out for God to end abortion. Let's cry out for this appointment that I believe will definitely swing the balance, and for us to say, we were there when God moved in the nation in such a powerful way that it was no longer okay to kill babies for convenience and money. So, So as much as I can encourage you, if there's a prayer meeting and you can make it, I want to encourage you to go. If you got a friend or a neighbor who prays, meet up with them and pray a little more this week. If you and your husband or wife have prayer time this week, or your family has your prayer meeting, remember, we've got they gave them a week extension to try to continue to delay. And their stated goal was, we want to stop this appointment no matter what it takes. So that means lying, cheating, stealing, maligning this man who, you know, he coaches, I'll just a little bit here, he coaches his girls' sports teams. And they were saying, well, you know, there's a whole lot of people, now that they've charged this guy with being a rapist without any evidence other than one person's accusation, but how many parents would go, well, I don't really want this guy coaching my girls' basketball team now. How much is his daughter's going to be in school? And because her parents are on the red team or the blue team, whichever one they believe, like, wow, your dad's this, your dad's that, because our parents are on the different team than you, and so we're going to tell you all we heard our parents say. I mean, it's evil. It just the idea of this family is literally going through hell, and we can pray for them. So I want to ask you to join me now, but I also want to encourage you to continue your prayers throughout these next few weeks as the whole scenario unfolds. Is that all right? I thank you for staying with me for a few minutes here, but it's that important that we disrupt our normal programming to bring you this special announcement, okay? So, Father, we thank you, God, for your hand upon our nation. Lord, and we can see history swinging in the balance. God, but we believe that history belongs to the intercessors. And so today, God, we want to be those who, if you look for a man to stand in the gap, you won't say, I did not find one, but you say, I found some in Springfield, Illinois. I found those who would stand in the gap. I found those who would cry out. I found those who would believe that it's more than red and blue, that it's more than Republican and Democrat, but it's about life or death. It's about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. And so, Lord, we lift up this appointment. We lift up Judge Kavanaugh and his family. God, we lift up Dr. Ford. Lord, we lift up those that would be so stirred, Lord, to be blinded by their own stories. Lord, but we're asking, God, that you would come and you would put an end to the circus and you would bring about a righteous end, a righteous culmination, Father, where we as a nation could no longer agree with the slaughter of the innocent unborn for money and for convenience. Lord, we're asking that you would move mightily on the hearts of the men and women who will be voting in this in a week from now. And we're asking, Lord, that this whole investigation, Lord, would go according to your plan. And though, God, there are those that would like to delay in order to somehow stop an appointment of a pro-life judge, Lord, that your purpose, your plans would advance. Lord, we add our prayers and our faith, Lord, to those that are contending and have been contending, Lord, across the nation. And we say, God, in our day and in our hour, make your truth known and end abortion in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now, without any further delay, I want to welcome Larry. Larry's got something brewing, and he's going to share this morning. So, Larry, why don't you go ahead and come? And we'll welcome you as you come, and you can welcome him. He's walking awful slow. There we go. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, it's a long walk up here. So you know me, I always ask people to move forward. Is there any way y'all, like Josiah and back, could come up a little closer? I know you hate to stand up and walk during church, but I just did. I walked all the way up here all by myself. Well, Jesus is with me, of course. Could anybody else, like, move forward, please? Hey, I have taken, yeah. I see that New York T-shirt. I promise I won't be. Is this too loud? Am I too loud? Turn your hearing aids off. Maybe we'll be okay here. This is a little better, isn't it? Am I still too loud? I sound loud. I'm not loud. My wife says I'm loud. not just at church. I'm either snoring too loud or talking too loud, and sometimes you wonder if you're going deaf when everyone's like, "What are you shouting about?" Like, am I shouting really? Man, I've had a great time downstairs teaching the, what is it, 7 through 11 or something like that. I mean, like some weeks there's like 18 kids in there. It's just awesome. And God like divinely inspired me, I think, to go get some Teddy Grahams. It's like, that's how you control little kids. It's with little bitty chunks of graham crackers. And they'll just line up and like, yeah, I'm going to get some of that. So a couple weeks ago, I was down there. I don't know. Well, maybe a month ago. I don't know when it was. But, you know, and I sit against the wall, put a chair against the wall, and then I like literally take the kids like in a semicircle moon thing. So they're like just, they're all the same distance from me, and they're kind of looking at me, and they see my hand on the bag of Teddy Grahams, and so they're like glued in a good way. And they know how it works. It's like I ask constant questions throughout. Anything I'm saying, I'll just stop and say, you know, raise your hand if you can, you know. And so they're always knowing that there's a chance to get some Teddy Grahams like any second. So they actually pay attention. And I remember one week the Baxters were here. And I think is it Luke that plays soccer? I think it's Luke. Real competitive young man. Really good athlete. And he just happened to be kind of all the way around over to here. And then maybe Mariah was next to him or something. But anyway, he was over here. And the youngest, what's the youngest name? The youngest girl. Pippi. Pippi was sitting next to Luke. And I was asking all these questions. And Luke was just not getting any of them. I mean, he couldn't answer a question to save his life. And he's real competitive. I mean, he's a great athlete, super competitive. And he's like, and he just couldn't win no graham cracker, Teddy Grahams for nothing. And we were probably 3/4 of the way through. And Pippi looks over at her brother, who's just like, almost like seething, because he can't seem to win. And she just looks at him and goes, you know, you need to read the Bible more. And he looks back and goes, I think you're right. But there's a little lesson there. Okay, so this morning, you know, I get all these ideas and stuff. And I'm like, God, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to share some of this stuff. And then my mind, my upper mind just goes crazy. And then I have like, not 5 sermons, but it seems like 5 sermons running through my head. So I'm like, okay, God, what do you need to share this morning? If you were standing here, Jesus, literally, what would you say? And so I got on the phone and just called a bunch of people for prayer support because, you know, if Jesus doesn't speak this morning, we might as well just go get an early lunch and get in line before the Baptists get there, and it'll be great. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I've been praying and praying. I asked a lot of people to pray. And this summer, I go to a lot of car shows in the summer, and it just seems like every car show I go to is about 5 hours from here. I don't know how or why. They're just about 5 hours, most of them. Which, this summer, God just decided in his sovereignty and his wisdom and his love and his mercy to just really meet with me on the way to these, and on the way back to these car shows. And I remember going around, like, Indianapolis en route, and this song came on the radio that I'd never heard before by Lauren Daigle. I think it's called You Say or something like that. And, man, it's a good thing there's 4 lanes going around Indianapolis because I'm just like, I'm just swerving around, I'm crying. I'm doing like people pass me. I'm just like, you know, I'm just like wiped out in the middle of the day. God's Spirit's just speaking to my heart in a deep way, healing wounds that some of which I've had since childhood. And it was awesome, of course. It was embarrassing if anybody even got close to me. Isn't that weird that you can be embarrassed in Indianapolis? No one knows you. And you're still embarrassed because you're just like crying your head off in the middle of the afternoon. Not because a cop pulled you over or anything. You're just like being dealt with by God, right, in a good way, you know. So anyway, I just had this crazy awesome summer to where God started just revealing, I call them puzzle pieces. And when I say puzzle pieces, what I mean is, gosh, I'm getting so far ahead of myself. I have a little organization here, but anyway, puzzle pieces. When I say puzzle pieces, you know, when I grew up as a kid on the farm, a lot of things happened that affected me and has affected me for my entire life. Some good, some not good at all. But a lot of it was the things that my parents would say to me and about me that weren't very encouraging, that weren't life at all. And I have prayed literally since ninth grade when I became a Christian to forgive my parents, to be healed, to believe the truth about me, because I didn't know what it was. I kid with people. I'm like, I've been in counseling since birth. How about you? You know? It just feels, doesn't it feel, I mean, okay, it's my story, not yours, but it just feels like it. It's like, am I ever going to just get done having a crisis and calling someone for prayer and trying to get the truth and embrace the truth and believe the truth and live the truth and just believe it and not always like struggle with not believing it? You know what I'm saying? Is there ever going to be a time in my life where the weight is just lifted and where I can wake up in the morning and just feel so good about who God is and who God made me to be? Does that make sense? I mean, and not have to fake it, not have to go into spiritual warfare for 3 hours to get there. You know what I mean? To where you believe more truth than lies about who you are. Okay? And this summer, God just like, I call it, you know, putting, like a puzzle makes a picture, right? He put, I don't know how to say this, like the final pieces in the puzzle. And I saw him when I was growing up in the picture and what he was doing in the midst of the not good stuff. You know what I mean? And somehow, in God's power, healing, and mercy, everything changed for real. I mean, we're not talking small breakthrough for me. I'm like, it was like you've been climbing the mountain for 35 years straight up, feels like. And now on the other side, you're on a sled in the snow just going, woohoo! And his mercy, his commitment to heal us is so changing. It will never change. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was out in the shop, and me and Ben Hogan's been doing a lot of work together for the last year or so, and been kind of organizing and cleaning. And, you know, one of my skills is to take 40 pounds of junk and put it in a 2-pound bag. Doesn't fit very well, kind of flops over, and that's kind of what my shop feels like. It's like I just got so much stuff in there. It's like, man, I've got to clean house and organize. So I was cleaning some metal and throwing some metal and this stuff called expanded metal that's kind of got wiggles and stuff in it. I was throwing a pile up and seeing what I was going to keep and what I was going to get rid of. And I was out there in the morning and just working, throwing these piles around. And I picked up a piece of this called expanded metal. I just pitched it over in the pile with the rest of it. And this flat piece of metal was curved at the end. And when I tossed that thing, that razor-sharp curve just came right across my hand, the corner of it. And I kind of watched it happen. Sounds kind of gross, kind of horrible, but it was. So I pitched it over there, and I'm like, literally just looked at my hand, and it just really cut deep and long. I was like, I'm getting a little queasy. If I pass out, this is a concrete floor. It's going to hurt even worse. And then I took my other hand and kind of tried to squeeze it together. And I seen how deep it was and how long it was. I'm like, ooh. And then, you know me, I'm like, I like fixing things for a living. I just like fixing things. I'm like, didn't somebody tell me one time that you could super glue huge wounds together? Didn't I hear that on the internet or something somewhere? Wasn't super glue designed for military purposes? So I'm like, I've been super gluing things together for Vinyl Doctor for 30 years. I got this. Now, if anybody was in the room with me, they'd be thinking, are you freaking crazy? Go to a doctor now. Are you just a complete idiot or what? But I'm like, I got to work today. I got things to do. I don't have time to go get stitches and Band-Aids, and they probably put me in a sling or something ridiculous. I'm not going to no doctor. Just where's my super glue? So I am trying to glue this thing together, and I can't get it to glue together for nothing. I mean, I'm piling on the super glue and squeezing it, and that didn't hold. I'm piling more. Pretty soon, the super glue on my hand was kind of like, and it had all gooey blood stuck in it. And then Hogan came over later that morning because we were going to get some work done. He's like, what's up? I'm like, I cut myself on some expanded metal. He's like, oh. He was like, oh, my gosh, what do you show me that for? And it looked pretty eerie, kind of like Halloween. But anyway. Now, I could show you my hand right now. I mean, there's definitely a scar. I mean, this has been a little while ago. There's definitely a scar. But it's healed. I mean, it doesn't hurt. The healing nature of God is amazing. Our minds, our emotions, our bodies. It's hard to even grasp that He's designed us to heal, you know. Now, the summer had to do with more with God healing my broken heart from, you know, stuff growing up. And yeah, I'm 56 years old, so do the math. I got saved at 14. But God doesn't get in a hurry, but He does it right. He's never in a hurry, because when He's done, He looks at it and goes, it's perfect. It's right. It's whole. It's complete. Now, something you all know about scars. Once you're completely healed of, a wound or something, there may still be a scar, but if you push on it, it doesn't hurt. It really is healed. I mean, there's a memory, but not pain. Does that make sense? I just think that's so like God. It's like, you know, I could sit here right now and tell you some stories of things that happened to me growing up that would be no fun to recite whatsoever. But they don't hurt. You know, they don't, you know, the anger and the resentment and the bitterness does have no power over me. Now that's God. That's awesome. That's just God. And, you know, we all get hurt at times, physically, emotionally, even spiritually we can be wounded. And God says, no, I'm going to completely restore you. I would like to play a song. I've got a couple songs and a TV commercial that Josiah will like, probably. I think you all like it. I watched a TV commercial. I'm like, it's about a car. I'm like, God just like spoke to me through a TV commercial. Are you kidding me? Imagine that. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we're going to play a song by Hillsong. And really the theme of the sermon this morning is who we are, who we really are. We're going to talk about the difference between a prodigal and an orphan. And there really is a big difference between a prodigal and an orphan. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Carla's got something to share. Me and my wife and Steve and Carla got together recently just to pray for some things and everything. And Carla just said something really profound in the middle of eating pizza, if you can believe that. But it happened. There's probably God speaking through, which I'm sure it was. But I'm like, could you share that? Because that's kind of a big deal. You don't realize how big a deal that is. But that's God. That's the voice of God. So Carla's going to share just a little bit. But we're going to go ahead and play this song now. It's called Who You Say I Am. And we're going to actually talk about what God is speaking through this song a little bit. because we're going to talk about who we really are. I mean, no matter what lies you've been told, no matter what anyone on earth has ever said, the voice of God is the most powerful voice in the universe. And when you hear his voice, it absolutely changes who you are. You know, I heard recently, just this Joyce Meyer teaching, and she said something about the most powerful voice you'll ever hear, she said, actually is your own. What you speak about yourself. I'm like, that's good. But God's voice can even trump yours. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he created all of earth by the power of his word. And he can he will, and he does, recreate your heart and your mind by the power of his voice. You know, I remember this week we were watching some TV, and it was a new season of Dancing with the Stars came on. And they had all these people. Most of them I didn't even know. Some of them I recognized, the stars, you know. They had some young lady. I think she's only like 17 years old. And Marissa was watching with us, and Marissa knows more about social media than I'll ever know, and telephones and stuff. But this lady's on there, young lady, 17 years old, and I guess her claim to fame or why she's a star is because she has 12.5 million followers on social media. That's a lot. And she's not in movies. She's not an actress. She's not a singer. She's a model. She's attractive. And 12.5 million people are on her little social followers. We're watching the TV show, and like three different times, because the whole show wasn't about her. She did do one of the dances. But you know how they interview them and get their background and get to know them a little bit. Three different times that they showed her on film, she said, you know, I'm really worried. I don't have any self-confidence. I don't think I'm going to do well. I mean, she's just like really very insecure about who she was. And Rissy, I think Rissy said, I think she said this. Because I sit next to Marissa, and she kind of goes, you have 12.5 million followers. What do you mean you're insecure about anything? Which at first glance might make sense, but you know what? That doesn't have the power to name you, to even impart the value that God put in you at birth. Does that make sense? You can be famous. You can be rich. You can have 12.5 million people following every word you say. That won't do the same as one word from God to set you free, to assure you with confidence of your value, your worth, of who you really are. Go ahead and, if you would, you got that first song ready?
Thank you.
I could watch that about 10 times a day and not get old. Did you ever just hear the voice of God say, "You were chosen, I chose you. You're my child. In my home, you know, my daughters are just old enough to where two of them are out on their own now. And they'll just up and throw a fit if we do something with their room. You know what I mean? It's like, what is this sitting in here for? This isn't a storage room. This is my room. You haven't been here for a year. I don't care. This is my room. In our Father's house, it was a place for me, our room, forever, with our name on it. We're chosen, not forsaken. God chose us by name. I feel like God had me start thinking and praying and meditating on the word redemption and ransom. Redemption and ransom. The idea to redeem and ransom something in the scripture. When he says he redeems us, when he says he ransoms us, it's not the idea of going out and purchasing a car that's brand new to you for the first time. It's not that at all. To ransom something back is to regain something back that was yours in the first place, that someone stole. Do you see the difference? God made us from scratch, every one of us, in his image, on purpose, and according to the Old Testament, wrote our story before we're even born. We're his by design. Before we're even born, we're his. And the enemy comes and lies and deceives us into thinking we're anything else but his. An orphan is adopted by parents that aren't his or hers. Do you understand? We're not orphans. We've never been orphans. We've been prodigals, perhaps. But the prodigal was the son to begin with. Does that make sense? And the prodigal chose to leave by his own free will. And the father didn't stop him. Somehow there's great comfort in me to know that I was God's when I was born. Does that make sense? And only if I ever chose to leave him would I not be his. Does that make sense? I'm a prodigal, but I'm never an orphan, ever. Not in God's family. You know, we all have the same last name. We may have different first names, second names, but we're all children of God forever, from the beginning to the end. And the only people that won't be with us in heaven and for eternity are those who willingly chose to leave. The only ones. I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm not forsaken. I'm loved. You know, there's a couple scriptures that, some of my favorite scriptures. There's a 2 Chronicles 16:9 and Hebrews 4:16 are kind of sister, brother, partner scriptures. 2 Hebrews 4:16. and 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9, let me read this. The eyes of our Father in heaven search throughout the whole earth, day and night, to give strong support to those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Those are his children. Those are us. Hebrews 4:16. Let us, Paul's talking to us, not to the angels, not to Jesus. Paul says, let us approach our Father's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Did you ever try to picture that? I felt like God was trying to help me picture things, because if I can picture them, I feel like it goes deeper in my spirit, and it gives me strength to, you know, Scott's been preaching all this great wisdom about how God created our minds and our brains and our thought processes. Sometimes it helps my brain and thought processes to picture something. Yeah. So God was giving me these, they're probably going to sound crazy, but I'm just going to throw them out there. Maybe you can receive. But I pictured this throne of, this room, this throne of grace that God says, come to me, come to me. You're not going to get what you deserve. Jesus took that on him. You're going to get what you need. And it's a throne of grace, and you just come in boldly. You don't come up to the Father and bow your head like you're some whipped pup and don't deserve anything. You come in boldly and say, God, my child needs this, and I'm here to ask for him. My wife needs this. I'm boldly asking. Boldly. Jesus is the, you know, when Jesus went to heaven, what does he do? He constantly intercedes for us. What does that mean? He's asking boldly the Father to help us. And Jesus is like, you come and help me ask. It's just going to open the floodgates. Boldly. Well, that's pretty awesome. So God is literally day and night, constantly searching the face of the earth to find anyone who's crying out to him, whose heart, whose life is in his hands and strongly leaning on their beloved. Strongly. I mentioned a little earlier that April and I got a little time to spend with the Wilsons, and it was a real blessing. And we were just sharing parental prayers and parental concerns for our families. And there's always new things. There always will be. And then if your kids are perfect, which mine aren't yet, but then you'll have grandkids that aren't perfect, and you'll pray for them. So it's just ongoing. And I just felt like God just kind of moved on me and put a couple thoughts in my head. And I just wanted to re-encourage Steve and Carla of what they already knew, which was, you know what? You got all these wonderful kids on loan from God. They're really his, way more than ours. And God knows exactly how to help you and teach you and enable you to raise each one in an awesome fashion, regardless of what they need. And they'll all need different things. They're all unique and special in their own ways. And he knows how to discipline them and teach you that, and how to encourage them and how to love them and how to give them physical affection, how to train them. I mean, there's just no surprises. And they're on loan from God, and God will give us, as we seek his perfect wisdom, his endless grace, his complete mercy. He will parent our kids through us. Now, isn't that good? Because it's way better than what we would do, no matter what. So we were encouraging them. God's the encourager, you know. But I was just kind of reminding them of what they already knew. And then a couple weeks later, we got to hang out a little bit more. And Carla said a couple things. I'm like, oh, that's just so God. I want you to share that. So, Carla, if you got a second to encourage us.
First of all, this is awesome. Everything Larry shared has been so amazing today. But even as he was talking, I've been kind of reformulating how I wanted to share even what I said. He mentioned two words, redemption and ransom. And if you think about it, like, we have the capabilities, everybody in this room, I think, has the capabilities to understand what those words mean. Or if not, to look them up and meditate on it and think about it. But my oldest daughter doesn't have that ability. If we were trying to tell her what a meaning of a word was or the concept of it, she wouldn't understand it. You know what I mean? She has lack in that area. That's actually the logos of God, the ability to understand words. When John says that Jesus was the logos and the logos made flesh. He was God's word long before he ever became Jesus. And that is all God's logic and reasoning and ability to understand language and so many other things. But I just think about that absolute limitation in her life that really is a human right. If you're created in the image of God, a human right of yours is to be able to think like God, speak like God, because he's a speaking being. So it's a human right. Like dogs and cats, they differentiate it. Like animals are differentiated. They have an ability to communicate, but not like God. They have ability to get what they need through communication. Your dog can bark and whatever, but not like God. You know what I mean? God can speak and things happen. So years ago, this summer's been really difficult. It's been a really painful, very hard summer. She's 15, hormones. Changing body, changing hormones, everything. And just, she had braces, had to get braces on her teeth. We didn't want that. Very much pain in her mouth. She's a very unhappy person, like all the time. And so we're trying to comfort her, doing all the things I know to spiritually do, pray, you know, all the things that I've ever done. So I finally was like, Lord, I need a word. I need a word. Because that's always been the answer for him. He gives me a word and that, you know. So I was listening to a Bill Johnson teaching, and one morning I was cleaning, and I heard Bill say, some of you don't need a word, you need to believe the words God has already spoken. And I thought about it, and I thought, so the words you've spoken to me already, God, are too unbelievable. you know, I really have to be honest with you guys. I didn't believe them. I really has been a wait and see kind of thing. The things that God has spoken over her life have been, well, I'll wait and see. Like, let's see if this is going to come to pass. But when she was sick and had seizures, she went from being a normal, typical, very sharp child. I watched videos of her as a baby and very smart. Could talk, could understand. She was amazing. She slowly, slowly, through seizures and brain trauma, became almost like a vegetable. So then God allowed for her to have a brain surgery, which was amazing. But then it, again, left her very disabled. So it was always been this regrowing, you know. And every step of the way, God has answered prayers. She's learned to speak. She's learned to read, learned to write, learned to function in that way. She still does not have this higher capacity that God enables human beings to have to think and speak like he does. So she's still limited in what God created her to be. So I have just not believed the things that he said. And so when she was little and we were in the middle of the battle, the seizure battle, I was a fierce warrior. I never backed down. I was resolute. I stood on it. I spoke it. I never backed down because what I was seeing was such suffering. There's no way I could have just rolled over. So Steve, my husband, came to me one day and he said, I want to pray that she will excel. And then he meant like in her learning and her all these things I'm telling you about. And I thought, oh my goodness, like, okay. But to honor him, I typed it in my journal, big bold letters. Fast forward 6 months, she got so much worse, so much worse. Finally, she had the brain surgery, finally healed of seizures. We could rest. No more seizures, no more guerrilla warfare every single day. A child falling down, shaking, head banging all the time. Like, a rest. I just wanted a rest. I was looking through my journal, and I saw, God told me to look into my journal. I didn't really want to do it because it was too painful to look at, too painful to watch, to remember. I was rest. I just wanted to rest. And I saw the place where I had written Excel in big bold letters, which had been like 6 months earlier. And I said out loud with my mouth, God, it's okay if she does not excel. I'm just grateful that I have her. I'm grateful. And so I got off the computer, gathered some laundry, climbed upstairs. I had 3 children at the time, a brand new baby. So it was just too much, just too much. And the phone rang, and it was the guy that had been praying with Steve. Literally minutes after I said out of my mouth, now, we had never told anybody this. They would have thought we were crazy anyway. And this man called right when I was climbing the stairs. Steve said, get on the landline. He wants to talk to both of us. So I get on the phone, and he says, I just have this word for you guys. I have one word. And I was like, okay. And so he says, excel. I feel like your daughter is going to excel. And I had to sit down, and I was just like, God, you know, you... Yes, like, okay, I told Steve, do you remember saying this 6 months ago? He said yes. So a couple months later, we're at another function. Another older man of God says the same thing to us. I thought Steve told him. Steve thought I told him. God had told him. So he said she was going to excel. Well, I still did not. This was just too difficult. I was worn out from my battles, worn out from my third C-section, worn out from everything. It was just too hard to take it, believe it, speak it, run with it. So finally... I said to God one morning, I was up early one morning, and I said, Lord, unless you show me in your word what it is you mean by her excelling, I'm not going to believe any man that comes to me. And I don't care if he's spent 50 years serving the Lord, I need to hear from you. And so there was a guy on the TV, and he said that, you know, something that you might excel. And I thought, that's not in my King James Bible. But I went to look up the scripture, and in my Bible it says abound. And it was talking about Paul commending those believers for abounding or excelling, whichever you want to say, mean the same thing. In logos was one of the things. So I looked it up, and it means just everything I'm just telling you. The logic, the reasoning, the ability to think like Larry was doing, like full of logos right now as he's preaching, full of logos. You know, thinking of words, meditating on them, thinking like God, speaking like God, speaking the truth out like God. All of these things that God does, that's his M.O. God's M.O. is he speaks. He speaks intelligent things that make sense. So finally, this fast forward to the summer, I just brought back all those words, and I've just been fighting again, standing up and speaking out the truth that she will excel. She is going to excel in her logos. She will be whole. These are the things. Fear not. Believe only. She shall be made whole, he told me. Hard to believe. These are things that have been hard to believe. This is what God has told me. You know, she said she'd be sitting, clothed, and in her right mind. When she was little, she could not sit through anything. She couldn't sit through a meal. She couldn't sit through a haircut if I cut her hair. Like, she couldn't sit. She can sit now. She used to always be stripping down. Her sensory needs were, she can keep clothed. It's now the right mind part. It's these things that God has spoken to me that seem so amazing that he would do this, even though he's done everything for me. So what I told Larry, sorry, Larry, this is long. What I told Larry is that a lot of people who are new in the faith or whatever, they have a lot of, I don't want to say excuse not to believe God, but there's reasons why they wouldn't be able to believe God. And this summer, as I've been struggling and praying, I felt like the Lord said to me, you're without excuse. You're really without any excuse to believe me. I've done everything you've ever asked me. And this does seem huge and big, but everything you've ever asked me, I've done it. Like, you're really without excuse here. And it was called me up like a good coach would, like a loving coach, not a condemning person, you know, would say to you, like, you have no excuse. It was more just like empowerment at the same time. You have no excuse not to believe me. And I realized yes, Lord, I have no excuse. And it is time to take hold of it, and it is time to speak it out. And however long it takes, I become that resolute person again. It's happened in my mind where it's clicked. And I think God has allowed me to be shaken by the devil and by my circumstances enough, because when I get to that place where it's just enough, I'm done. I'm done, and I get to the place where there's no more. No more. You're not going to oppress my child anymore, and you're not going to afflict her, and you're not going to cause her to suffer anymore. And I draw that line in the sand, knowing this is just cannot be God doing this to her. It cannot be. If he created human beings in his image to be able to speak and understand and comprehend, it cannot be God doing this. And if he sent his son to redeem the lost, heal all the broken, unspeaking, deaf, dumb, seizures, all the things that Jesus ever did that he never turned away, if that's the truth, then I have everything to stand on. This isn't me just wanting this and then, like, come on, Santa. You know, it's very different. And so God did allows us to go through pain, I think, sometimes, so we will be like that King David, like Scott was talking about earlier, like that shepherd who's almost like, what is going on here? Who do you think you are to do this to my child kind of attitude, enough boldness that reflects Christ himself? He's bold. He wants us to be bold. I have been shrinking back, and I just don't want to shrink back anymore. And I know that's very long, so I'm sorry if I've worn you guys out with this. But this is the season of my life. I'm come to this point. I've come to that river, that place. Like, this is the point. No more. No going back. I'm resolute. It's going to happen. I don't know when. I don't know how long the battle's going to take. I don't know what kind of things I'm going to face, but it will happen. She will be whole. She will be, you know, like Baloo someday, goes around and helps other people, who's so smart and so beautiful and amazing like Baloo, that she will be helping others. She won't be the one needing the help. She will be the one like, you know, somebody that I look up to like Baloo. She will be like that, you know, helping, serving, looking for people to help. Anyway, and it's just, anybody want to agree with me, you can, but I'm excited. So it may be a while.
Thank you, Carla. You know, God is perfectly faithful. I mean, it's interesting how God even tries to teach us about him through us, because we're just a shadow of how awesome he is, of course. But you know, the scripture even says, you know, what mother who's got a newborn and nursing her newborn could possibly forsake or forget about her newborn? But then God says, even if that were possible, which it isn't, I still would never forget you. I, your Father in heaven, would still, even if that were possible, it is not possible. I would never forsake you. Never forget you, never abandon you, never leave you. Anyway, so I was meditating on this throne of grace, this room that's described in Hebrews. And God gave me a picture to help me get it in my heart. It's just a good thing God's got a sense of humor. Or we just get so overwhelmed, we'd like freak out and explode or something. But I go into this throne of grace, and there's a hot tub on the side of the throne. Like, you ever go to a hotel that's got a hot tub, and the swirling water, and it's a little warm, and you get in your swimsuit, and you just, at first it's kind of hot, but then you're like, oh, man, I ain't getting out of here forever. I'm just going to, like, swirl in the warm water. I don't even know what is so awesome about that. But I never want to get out. And I stay too long. I almost like crawl back to the hotel room because I'm like exhausted. I can't really move. I got to get out of this thing. Help me get out of this thing. They need like a rope to like lift you out. So I go into this throne of grace. And like there's this hot tub there. It's like, God, what are you doing? What are you talking? What in the world? I get weird visions, pictures, whatever you want to call them. God's like, well, jump in. I'm like, okay, but you said so. So I get in, and you just, every pore in your body is just like, ha. I feel like God said, That is how my grace surrounds you. It is that close. I am that close. My grace, my mercy to meet every need you will ever have is that close to you. I am that close to you. Like, okay. I get it a little better. I feel it. I can somehow picture that a little better. To actually feel the presence of God that close, completely enveloping every part of me. Okay, we're going to watch a TV commercial. I'm not promoting this brand of car necessarily. I just like their commercial. Turn it up enough, make sure they hear it.
It's absolute confidence in 30,000 precision parts, or it isn't. It's inspected by Mercedes-Benz factory-trained technicians, or it isn't. It's backed by an unlimited mileage warranty, or it isn't. For those who never settle, it's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't. And it isn't available anywhere but your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer.
That's the good news. I won the lottery, and we're all getting Mercedes next week. I like that. That could happen. Either God is faithful or he isn't. Either he has said in his written word, I will meet all your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ Jesus, or not. Yeah, when me and Carla and Steve and April were all hanging out, Carla's like, God just told me, basically, I don't have to worry. Ever. Ever. I come boldly before the throne of grace, even if it's 10 times a day, to receive what I need. And it's not because we deserve it. It's never. It will never be because of what we've done. It's because what Jesus did on the cross to remove all our guilt, all our shame, all our sin, all our junk, all the things we hope no one ever finds out about. It's just gone. When you walk in to the throne of grace, you always are wearing his robe of righteousness, never your own. When the devil comes to you, and he will, and say, oh, you can't go to that throne of grace today because just yesterday you blah, 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 blah. And he might actually be telling the truth at that moment. You might have did blah, 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 blah. You just say, see this robe? You know who I got this from? Jesus. So you go talk to him. This is my pass in. He died on my behalf to completely cleanse me of. You know, the scripture is so cool. Jesus says, if you're faithful and just to confess your sins, he will forgive you your sins that you confess and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, stuff that you don't even know you did, stuff you don't even remember you did, stuff that you haven't even done yet. He will cleanse you from all. Now, that doesn't mean we don't confess anymore. I'm not preaching that. It's not true. That just means when you walk in, you are completely cleansed. You are perfect. You are whiter than perfect new snow. Hi, Milana. Okay, one more song. And I'm going to make a few comments about the song, and we're done.
Start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. And these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you. To the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chains.
So I was on my way over here this morning to come to church, and I was listening to that song. And once again, God starts giving me a picture of something. And it's another way of describing the same room, the throne of grace, the table of God. Everything you ever need is there. He invites you to it. Come to the table, no matter who you are. The difference was, Jesus was standing at the door to this banquet room in my little vision on the way to church. And the only way to get in the room was through this, actually, small door. And Jesus was at the side of the door. And someone walked up to come in the door, to come to the table that they'd been invited to by the Father. And Jesus stopped them. And of course, their heart filled with fear because Jesus is the only one that's paid your price to come in. And if he says no, then it's a no. So this person looked at Jesus and said, "Why can't I come in?" He goes, "Well, you can, but not yet. You've got something of mine." Puzzled look came on his face. So what do I have that's yours? He said, "Your shame. I want you to give me your shame before you come in." So like, okay, I'll give you my shame. He said, and your guilt. I want you to give me all your guilt before you come in. That's mine now. It's not yours. All your shame, all your guilt, and any regrets, they're mine now. They're not yours. I'm taking all your regrets, all your guilt, and all your shame. And when you step into this room, you're going to be alive the way I always meant for you to be from the beginning of time. I'll close with this. I think it was this summer. On TV, there was a wedding, a royal wedding. Did anybody by chance watch any of it, or previews of it, or clips of it on TV? Well, I have 3 daughters and a wife, so there's a lot of testosterone. What is it? Estrogen? Yeah, there ain't much testosterone around, I'll tell you that much. Whole bunch of estrogen. So my wife and one of my daughters actually got up in the middle of the morning to watch it live. I didn't get up and then join in. Sorry, I'm sleeping. I mean, I knew they were planning on getting up to watch it. So I'm sleeping. Now, in our particular home, there's a bathroom kind of off the master bedroom where me and my wife sleep. I don't know why our kids like to use our bathroom. We have like 3 or 4 or 5 of them. But they come to our bathroom. Really? Y'all have your own bathroom. So I'm just like barely rolling over, half asleep, half awake. And they'd been up watching this thing. And I guess it was over by then. And I see one of my daughters, like I'm kind of half awake, but I kind of see someone walking through the room. I'm like, oh, that's my daughter. Going to use our bathroom, of course. And I don't even know who she's talking to because I was barely awake, not really awake. I certainly probably didn't look awake. She's almost kind of like stomping a little bit. All she said was, "I want to be a princess." Well, of course, you just watched a $64 million wedding. I can go with that. At least that's the estimates, up to $64 million for this royal wedding. I want to be a princess. And all I can say is you're way more valued than that by your Father in heaven. You could have been in that wedding. You could have been the bride. And wouldn't change your life as much if God just speaks one time to you how much he loves you. Changes your heart. I think we're done. Scott, are you still awake? You okay? You good? I don't know how to close nothing. You don't close this? I don't know how to close things. You're the closer, dude.
There we go. Wow. Shocking. Well, let's just pray. You know, why don't you step here? I just want to pray for us, you know, the reality of how tangibly close God is. You know, oftentimes it comes when we start believing the truth and not thinking differently about ourselves than what he thinks about us. And so, Father, we just thank you, God, that you're helping us believe, Lord, that wonderful testimony that Carla gave, Lord, the illustrations that Larry gave. And, Lord, I believe you're shifting us. God, I believe your desire, Lord, is for us Lord, to receive what you have for us, but then, God, to be agents of redemption, to be agents of adoption, Lord, to be those who are looking for others, God, who so desperately are searching for that which you've so freely given us. And so, Lord, help us see that. Lord, help us to embrace the grace you give us. Lord, help us to be those who disseminate that grace, Lord, wherever we go. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And if you want to receive prayer this morning, I had Larry stay up here for that reason, because he and whoever else wants to join us, I just want to pray for anybody who says, maybe you're going through a battle, maybe you're going through a struggle, maybe just to believe. You know, Larry and I have some really common things, and one of them is that, you know, I had things spoken over me by my parents that were not good words. And it's a battle to believe the truth when you've had bad things said to you over and over again. And so if you, any of those struggles that you heard this morning or your own struggle is at a place where you'd love to have somebody agree with you, then we're here to pray for you. So stand with me if you will. God, we love you. We bless you. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. And Lord, as we go, Lord, we thank you that you go with us and you take those things, Lord, that resonated within our heart, Lord, and you make them real. God, as you take us, Lord, and lead us and strengthen us in our ability to believe you and to trust you, Lord, and to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. The altar is open. If you want to receive prayer, we'll be up here to pray for you.